See, listen, there is a pattern throughout God's word because there's a plan. And the plan is this, that you receive the good news, you experience redemption, and you share that story, and you proclaim it to others.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing a message that I recently shared with our church family at Holt Assembly of God. The message you'll be hearing today is entitled Proclamation, and it's part of a series that's entitled The Plan. God has a plan for your life. When we experience new birth and serve Jesus by faith, it's up to us to discern God's plan and proclaim it. Everyone is proclaiming something. Are you proclaiming God's plan? I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message. Today's message is part one of Proclamation.
Ephesians chapter 2, Luke chapter 2. This message is part three in our series entitled The Plan. And I don't mean this to sound cliche-ish because it's a reality. God has a plan. God has a plan for every person, and it's important that we govern our lives by this truth. It's so important that every day you wake up, you realize that God's got a plan for you. He has plans for you, and it's up to us to discern that plan. Every life has meaning. Every life has purpose, and it's for us to discern that and step into that purpose. And throughout this series, we've been using the Christmas story as the example of God's plan. God had a plan to redeem mankind from their sins, and that plan was put into place with the birth of Christ, being at the right place at the right time. So Ephesians chapter 2 has been our key verse throughout the series. And it says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And God has plans for us, each and every one of us, created in God's image. All of us are created in God's image, his likeness, and plans that God has prepared for us to walk in them. And that's why we must discern his plans. Remember, when we fulfill God's purpose, that's when we glorify God the most. And that's when we experience the most peace and contentment in life, is when we fulfill our purpose. Mary and Joseph, they had a plan. I mean, can you imagine putting yourself in their shoes? They have this plan of wedding bliss, I'm sure, starting their lives together, starting a family together. But God interrupts that plan. He steps in and says, wait a minute, I have a plan. Reveals that plan to them. And they don't reject that plan by faith. They step into that plan and fulfill a purpose. And that purpose was that Mary's womb and the Holy Spirit would overcome her. And she would, and that which was in her would be Christ, the Lord. I mean, that's faith. That's courage. What an incredible story. And thank God they trusted in the Lord. Amen? Because you and I wouldn't be here today. Thank God that someone made a decision to follow God's plan. And I just want to mention this today. Each and every one of us, we're here because someone chose to obey God's plan. Every one of us. We're not here by accident. Someone shared the gospel with you. Someone shared God's story with you, God's plan, and you responded to that plan. And so thank God for people who step into God's plan and fulfill it. There's two keys we've covered so far in this series. Number one's been timing. Number two is position. We need to be in the right place at the right time. But that doesn't take place by chance or accident. We purposely put ourselves in the right place, in the right time, in the midst of God's plan. This morning, I want to talk to you about the third factor. That's the third part of the series, and it's proclamation. Proclamation. God has plans involving time, position, and proclamation. God's plans are meant to be proclaimed through us. That was a good place to say amen, but you failed. All right. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "Now that we're in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people,'" not just certain people, "all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you that you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." Verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Verse 15, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. God revealed his plan to these men, or these shepherds. Verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Verse 17, now when they had seen him, look at this, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. Verse 18, and all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by who? By the shepherds, the first human messengers of the gospel, the first ones to proclaim the birth of Christ were shepherds. God chose Bethlehem, the birthplace of King David, to reveal the Messiah, and he proclaimed beforehand through the prophet Micah 700 years prior, the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, and he would shepherd his people. And that's a prophecy that took place again 700 years prior before it was fulfilled. And prophecy is simply this, it's proclaiming God's will. It's proclaiming God's will. The angel appeared to the shepherds who were watching over their flocks, and they proclaimed to them the good news. The plan had come into action. God's plan for salvation, a Savior had been born, and that Savior was born in Bethlehem, and it was Christ the Lord. The shepherds go into the village themselves, find the babe as told to them by the angels, as the angel had proclaimed. After seeing the Messiah, the shepherds go away, and what do they do? What's the first thing they do? They proclaim to all what they saw and what they heard. Church, that should be a big clue for us today. The angels proclaim to these shepherds what was going to take place or what had taken place. They go into Bethlehem, find the babe themselves. They understand what they've seen, what they've heard is true, and they go and make that known to others, to all. They proclaim God's plan. I think it's interesting when we look at the birthplace of the church, which is in the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost. They had this great experience with the Holy Spirit, but they didn't just stand there and have church. They got outside of those walls, and what did they do? They went immediately out to the temple courts and began to proclaim the good news. See, listen, there is a pattern throughout God's word because there's a plan, and the plan is this, that you receive the good news, you experience redemption, and you share that story, and you proclaim it to others. They proclaim God's plan. God's calling upon our life is the same. It's not, God's plan is not just meant for clergy to proclaim. The pulpit is important, but the pulpit that you have is far greater. Listen, I'm one man in one church. You are many more. You all have a pulpit. You all have a place to proclaim Christ. See, God didn't call one person in this community or a couple people, a couple pastors in this community to win this community. He's called you and I to win this community. That's God's plan. God's plan of salvation is ordained by God to be proclaimed. My question this morning for you this morning is this. Are you proclaiming God's plan? Are you proclaiming God's plan? See, God has a plan for your life, every one of you. Every one of us, God has a plan. And by faith, we have to step into that plan daily because we're all proclaiming something. Whether you like it or not, you're proclaiming something. But you can look at social media. What are you proclaiming? How you live your life out in public, you're proclaiming something. We're all proclaiming something. The word proclamation means this, a public or official announcement, especially one dealing with a matter of great importance. And here's the last part of it, to demonstrate clearly. To demonstrate clearly. It's interesting that word proclamation in the English, if you look it up, kind of comes from the Latin and the French, and it's from the word proclamare, and it means this, to shout out. See, some of you thought shout out something new. Want to give a shout out to? No, give a shout out to Jesus, amen? I mean, that's not something new, it's something old. It means to make known, it's meant to demonstrate, it means to declare. So when we proclaim Christ, we're not just speaking, all right? We're living. We're living testimonies of what God has done in us and through us. So if you're going to give a shout out to Jesus, amen? We get so busy with ourselves. And I love the holiday season. I love it.
The reason why I love this time of season because of we're celebrating the birth of Christ. The reason I can't stand it because we get so busy, and it seems like when we come to celebrate, when we come to celebrate together as a church, sometimes that is left off the list, and sometimes we get so busy with other things we forget the purpose of this season. And we say, no, I know it's Jesus, and it's the reason for the season. No, there's a plan. And are we sharing God's plan? Are we revealing God's plan to others? The greatest gift you'll give someone is not some toy. It's not some money. It's not a gift card. It's the gift of life. Amen? It is the gift of life. And I would say this, that we are too busy in our church with other things, with our own plans, and we're not walking out God's plan as faithfully as we should. You say, how do I know that? I'll know that when this church is filled. Any church. Not just ours, but any church. See, when God's house is filled, that says this, that there are some people that have gotten a hold of God's plan. If I ask you this question, how or what is God's plan for your life? How would you answer that? How would you answer? Because everybody has a plan. God's got a plan for each and every one of you. How would you answer that plan? Some of you might describe it this way, my occupation. And that might be the case. Your occupation may be part of God's plan. God may have given you the necessary ability and talent to do a job, but that is not necessarily God's plan for your life. Are you following me? See, God's given you a plan in order to proclaim. He's given you a set of abilities, a set of talents, opportunity to proclaim Christ. So there will be proof, there will be evidence. Well, Pastor, I enjoy my job. I have peace. I'm talented. I receive accolades from superiors, from associates, from clients. That may be the case, but listen, are we looking at the accolades of men as evidence and proof that we're doing God's plan, we're fulfilling his plan? I'm talking about souls, church. I'm always going to come back to this subject because this is God's plan. It's to share the gospel. It's not just to come to church. It's to share Jesus. Each and every one of you, you have a platform to proclaim God's love. Are you proclaiming it? God's plan, the plan deals specifically with souls. It's redemption. How are you furthering God's plan? Pastor, I got saved. That's great. But I think we're missing it. Listen, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. If you're born again, that can't be hidden. See, you're proclaiming something. See, some of us said, well, I'm born again. What's your life proclaiming? See, I don't care what you say. The difference is how we live. It's not what we believe. Anybody could believe on Jesus. Bible even says that. Even the demons believe and tremble. It's not a matter of up here. It's a matter of here and how we live. Mankind is our business. Mankind is our business. Lost men and women are our business. God gave you a job, and that's your business. That's your business, your job. Our job is to proclaim God's business. How many of you want job security? Raise your hand. You always want job security, right? Proclaim God's word, you will. Proclaim God's will. Proclaim Christ. You'll always have job security. You know why? Because on your job, there are going to be plenty of lost people there. You'll always have job security. You say, well, Pastor, I might get into trouble if I begin talking about Christ. Well, that's fine. Listen, there are plenty of opportunities, friend. Are we going to put our plans before God's? That's what I'm just trying to say. See, Mary and Joseph, they had a plan. What did they do? They could have said no. Mary could have said, no way, I'm going to start my family, pick someone else. But once she heard God's plan and what God wanted to do, both of them step into that plan. All I'm saying is we all have a choice to discern God's plan and then to step in it.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life of the Spirit. I pray that you are blessed and that your faith has been encouraged. If you're not attending a house of worship and you're looking for a church home, I want to invite you to come worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Our web address is www.holtag.org. Or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.